His name was Thomas. To some, he was the twin brother of St. Matthew. To others, one of the 12 apostles. Still to others, Thomas was the missionary to the people of India. Most of us here today may know Thomas by a different name, or a different title perhaps, Doubting Thomas, because of a remarkable event in his life. So hear now the story that comes to us from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We don't hear much about Thomas. He's not what we might call a high-profile disciple like Peter, James, or John. In fact, John's is the only gospel to give Thomas a voice at all. Thomas speaks a mere 3 times in John's gospel. First, in chapter 11, when Jesus decides to return to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead. After the disciples argue with Jesus about returning to Judea, because Jesus had just left there and was almost stoned on his way out of town, Jesus counters them, telling them that he must go to raise Lazarus from the dead so that they would believe. Jesus wants the disciples to see him raise Lazarus in order that they would believe that Jesus is the Messiah. The disciples are afraid that Jesus is going to die. Thomas is the only one in the group who speaks. And despite his fear, he agrees with Jesus and encourages the others, "Let us go there and die with him." Thomas, in that moment, was willing to follow Jesus, even if it cost him his life. The next place that Thomas appears is in the upper room. Jesus had just explained his journey to the Father to prepare a place for them, and the disciples can't comprehend it. So Thomas asks where Jesus is going and how they might follow him there. Again, in this passage, there's a direct desire or a distinct desire of Thomas to follow Jesus wherever Jesus goes. The third instance when Thomas speaks is found in our reading for today, when Thomas doubts. Now, I think doubting Thomas is a little too harsh a title for the disciple. The label makes me uncomfortable. The first time Jesus appears to all of the disciples, what does Jesus do for them? He shows them his hands and his side. He lets the disciples see that it's really him. Jesus knows that the disciples need to see him in order to believe. Seeing is a prevalent theme in John's gospel, seeing so that one might believe. All of the wonders that Jesus performs are for that end, that by seeing, they might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the incarnate Son of God. John clearly wanted to highlight the importance of seeing and related that seeing to belief. So if Jesus allowed his other disciples to see him, and that in seeing him they came to believe, why are we so harsh towards Thomas, who just happened to be absent at Jesus' first appearance? Last Sunday, as I was preparing to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, I had a call from my friend Diane. Diane was stuck in Holy Saturday, that place where Jesus is dead and hope is lost. Her world was crumbling, and she could not, hard as she tried, see the risen Jesus in her midst. All she could see was her hardship, her pain, her loss. She confided to me that she had no desire to go and be with people who were so happy to celebrate the resurrection, because she could not see the resurrection in her circumstances. She felt stuck in a dark place where she could not see a way forward. Her eyes were blinded to the good news of Jesus Christ, risen and active in the world around her. And she felt like she just could not put on a happy face and join the other churchgoers that Easter morning. Thomas, too, is stuck in Holy Saturday. And he needed to see Jesus. Like all of the rest of the disciples, Thomas witnessed the brutal torture of his dear friend. After seeing what he saw, after watching his battered friend slowly suffocate to death, hanging on a Roman cross, a method of punishment meant for the most heinous of crimes and only to non-Roman citizens, nothing short of the appearance of Jesus would make him believe. Nothing else would do, because the idea of Jesus appearing seemed inconceivable. Lazarus being raised was one thing, but no one comes back from something like that. Like other miracles in the Gospel of John, there had to be witnesses in order for people to believe. These witnesses had to see the event, and after seeing it, they could tell others about it. For the disciples, believing that Jesus was raised from the dead was bound up in their ability to see him, especially because of the type of the death he died. There was a reason that Jesus walked the earth for 40 days after he died. He needed witnesses. He needed people to see him walking the streets. He needed people to see him healing those who were afflicted. He needed to be seen doing all of the things that he did before he was crucified. He needed his closest friends to see him eating and drinking as he had done with them so many times before. The disbelief of Thomas at the other disciples' words should not come as a surprise to us. Were we in Thomas's shoes, and were we to be honest with ourselves, we would have said, or at least thought, the exact same thing. We would demand proof before we would believe. The label we've given to Thomas makes me uncomfortable because deep down, I know that I am Thomas. When I look closely at Thomas's story, I realize that I too, at times, am a doubter. And I have a feeling that I might not be alone this morning. When I turn on the news, I expect to hear details of the brokenness of the world around me. I expect to hear about the next shooting, about impending wars, about drought and famine and violence and destruction and the oppression of peoples by political systems. What I don't expect to hear is the risen Christ. In fact, I'm utterly shocked when I do catch a glimpse of him in such circumstances, thinking that somehow they are too bad for him to be there, that if he were there, such horrors would not happen. I often doubt Christ's ability to reach into the world today to bring about change. When Jesus offers Thomas exactly what he had said he required to believe, to put his fingers in Jesus' wounds, Thomas doesn't follow through. In seeing Jesus' wounds, Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God," a statement of faith such as no other disciple in Scripture makes. He's invited to touch, and at this invitation is what enables Thomas to let go of his doubts and his fears, the things that have blinded him to the reality of the risen Christ. For Thomas, seeing is believing. Today, seeing so that we might believe is more difficult. The purpose behind the seeing as believing motif in John is to illustrate that there existed eyewitnesses to the events of Jesus' life, death, Easter morning, and the 40 days that followed. The eyewitness testimonies are recorded and are the inspired word of God to us today. We cannot see Jesus risen at the graveside, but we see him today through the witness of Holy Scripture. When Jesus offers the beatitude to those who cannot see yet believe, he speaks not only to those in first century Palestine, but to us today. We are able to believe and bear witness to the truth and good news of the gospel because of the witness of the disciples like Thomas, who spread that good news to the world because of what they saw. Our belief, which comes through these eyewitness testimonies, gives us eyes to see the risen Christ in the world around us. For us, as the writers of Hebrews put it, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Last Sunday, Diane could not see for herself the good news of the resurrection. And that's okay. It's where she was that Easter morning. And at some point, most of us will share in her struggle to see the resurrected Jesus in our midst. But I could see the risen Christ that day. My believing in the witness of the resurrection that Scripture offers me, my believing enables me to see Jesus in the world around me. Even in those deep, dark places where it seems like Jesus couldn't possibly be. When my believing becomes seeing, then I am able to share the good news of the resurrection with my friends, like Diane, who are stuck in Holy Saturday. They then can lean on my witness, on my faith, until they're able to believe the resurrection again for themselves. My faith can help carry them until they are able, as Thomas was, to recognize Jesus and exclaim, "My Lord and my God." Amen.